Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, last week we started looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, which says, "May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, last week, we talked about God's grace and glory, and I shared some of my own personal struggles over the years, starting with when our daughter, Becca, was diagnosed with cancer at only 3 years old and went through 9 months of chemo, along with having her little left leg amputated. We talked about suffering, the honest, raw, and real wrestling with God about it. If you missed last week's episode, I highly recommend you go back to that one before continuing this one, because this week we're going to look at the rest of that scripture, building on what I shared previously. So today, we're going to talk about what God is actually doing in us through this suffering, how even in the pain, he is still at work, gently rebuilding what feels so broken. So let's dig in and pick up where we left off. Now it says, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect you. Now that doesn't mean making you perfect, that nothing, you know, we never do anything wrong again. It's bringing to maturity. He will bring you to a place of maturity, bring it to a place of fullness, to a successful conclusion, some translations say. Like a tree, it's going to bear fruit, mature, ripened fruit, eternal fruit that remains. We know that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and he is the end. In other words, he has the final word on everything. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, although he was a son, Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. And once he was perfected or matured through that suffering, he became the way of eternal salvation for all those who hear and follow him. I want to read this in the Message translation. It says, though he was God's son, he learned trusting obedience by what he suffered just as we do. Then, having arrived at the full stature of his maturity, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who believingly obey him. Jesus himself learned obedience by the things he suffered, and he was perfected. He was brought to fullness, a successful conclusion. He was brought to a full stature of maturity. Now, James 1, the first four verses or so, is another verse that we really, really struggle with. I mean, this has always been a hard verse for me to comprehend, even before Becca died. It's the one that says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But maybe we don't feel very patient right now, right? But as we work through this, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature, lacking nothing. Now, counting it all joy, I don't believe that's an emotional reaction, but it's looking at the situation from God's perspective instead of our own. We are to view trials as a means of growth. Now, we don't rejoice in the trial itself. Obviously, we cannot rejoice in the death of our child, but we can submit to the work it is doing in us, the fruit, if we yield to what God is doing and we don't fight it. The trials serve as a discipline to purge us, stripping away what is false and holding us back. Now, how many of you allow the Holy Spirit to be your teacher in life? Now, when is a teacher silent in the classroom? It's when the students are taking a test. So if you are in that place where God seems silent, maybe this is part of taking a test as a way to perfect or mature your faith, the testing of our faith. Now, I know we feel like this is when I need to hear from God more than I have ever heard from God. And I think of, just as I'm saying that, I think of Jesus when he was on the cross. He could not feel God's presence. It was so dark for him. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God had not forsaken him. God had not left him. He had said right before that, when he was talking to his disciples, God will never leave me. He'll never abandon me. And yet Jesus felt abandoned by God in his darkness. And I think it's just so dark that God's presence, it takes a while for it to break through on our end. We have a hard time seeing him or feeling him because of the darkness on our end, but he is there. I promise you, he is there holding you. Let's go on. It says, after you have suffered a while, he will establish you. Establish would be to be unshakable, like a tree firmly rooted. And I know that's not how you feel right now, but let's look at some of the things that he wants to establish you in. He wants to establish you or help you be unshakable in your covenant with him. We're in what I call a covenant sandwich. God created human beings. He created us, and he knew that sin would enter this world. He knew that we would not be able to keep our covenant with him. He made a covenant with us, but he knew we could not keep our end of the covenant. And so Jesus came. Jesus came to be our end of the covenant. And when we believe in Jesus, in his death and his resurrection and what he did for us, it puts us in the middle of that covenant. Jesus came to keep our end of the covenant for us in our place, knowing that we couldn't do it ourselves. That is love. That is crazy love. And so I feel like we're in this covenant sandwich. God is on one side and Jesus is on the other, representing us and being standing in and being that covenant for us. He wants to establish you. He wants you to be unshakable in knowing that you are in this covenant. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day." He wants to establish you on the right path. Proverbs 4, 26 and 27 says, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn from the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." He wants to establish each one of us to have our ways be established, to be on the right path heading towards him. He wants to establish you in his purpose for you, your ministry, your calling. It doesn't have to be something big like me, like GPS Hope. It can be so small and so simple and yet so powerful and effective. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." You know, a lot of times we hear that out of our suffering comes a ministry. Because of what we have gone through, we can reach out and help others who are going through something deep or painful. It may not even be another bereaver, someone who's bereaved of their child. It could be something totally different, but your heart of compassion for those who are hurting now has been greatly increased. If it hasn't yet, it probably will be. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." If you knew your child was going to die before you leave this earth ahead of you, would you not want your child? Would you not want to go through this pain? Would you have rather God given your child to someone else so that you didn't have to go through this? I doubt it. I have yet ever had a parent say, yeah, I think I would rather God have given my child to someone else, so I'm not going through this. No, our love for our child is even deeper. The love for our child is so deep, it surpasses the pain. We would rather have that child and go through this pain than to not have had that child, just so we don't have to go through this. God knew that. God prepared things for you beforehand, before you were even born, before your child was born, knowing that your child had so many days on earth, had fewer days than you, but he still has plans for you, because this did not blindside God. He has plans, and he wants to establish you in those plans and purposes. He wants to establish your thoughts lining up with his thoughts, your ways and words lining up with his ways and words. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. Talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Other versions say something like, we understand what Christ is thinking, or we think about things the same way Christ thinks. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us change our perspective on things. When our perspective changes, when we can begin to see some of this through Christ's eyes and have his thoughts about the death of our child, it can help ease our pain. Job 23 verses 10 through 12 says, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I've not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Once again, he wants to establish that your thoughts line up with his thoughts. He also wants to establish you in his love. This is something that God, it feels like ever since Becca died, this is something that God has been working in me, to rest in his love. Ephesians 3 talks about being rooted and grounded in his love, allowing his love to be the source of our lives, allowing his love to be our resting place. In Ephesians 3, it says, let me read it to you specifically, that he would grant to you according to the riches of his glory. There's that word again, glory. That would be his goodness, the riches of his goodness, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I think when it says to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, it's an inner knowing. It's that my soul and my spirit knows the love of Christ, which passes our head knowledge. There is a warning in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, that if you will not believe, you will not be established. And so no matter how little tiny bit, even if it's, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, like he cried out in the New Testament to Jesus, Lord, I want to be established. Help me to believe that this is part of what you want to do in me right now. And then after you have suffered a while, he will strengthen you. Oh boy, do we need that, don't we? He does this by letting us know that he is rejoicing over us. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, it's no secret, the enemy works overtime to keep us from walking in joy. Why would he be so determined to steal your joy? Because God's joy is your strength. And I don't mean your joy in him, like being happy to be a Christian. I mean his joy in me, his joy in you. Now, the reason is, I'm going to talk a little bit about the English language. Hang in with me. The word of, the joy of the Lord, is a preposition. If I were to say, that book of Kevin's is lost, is Kevin lost or is the book lost? To make it sound less awkward, we'd probably say Kevin's book is lost, but we could also say that book of Kevin's is lost. How about the joy of the father was evident as he held his new son? Now I'm talking about the father's joy about his son. The joy of the father as he held his son. The joy of the Lord. It is the Lord's joy is my strength. It's not my joy. The joy of the Lord. The Lord's joy is my strength. We don't have to manufacture or make sure we have joy or happiness based on how I feel about God or the situation to have strength. My strength and your strength comes from knowing that He is crazy in love with us. He is crazy in love with you. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. The mighty one will save. He is rejoicing over you with singing and dancing. Believe it or not, He is excited, head over heels in love with you. And that is where our joy comes from. Realizing and meditating on His joy over you is what can make you strong. His joy about me creates joy in me. Now, I also want to call our attention to why He wants to strengthen us. It's not just for us. There's a dual purpose so that we can strengthen others, which I alluded to a minute ago. Luke 23, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. It sounds like some suffering is involved there. But Jesus goes on to say, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. I think you could almost put your own name in there. And the Lord said, put your name in there, Laura. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers and sisters. The verse in 1 Peter 5 goes on to say, after you have suffered a while, he will settle you. He will make you firm, set you on a firm foundation. Now, I read this last week. I'm going to read it again from Matthew 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Now, last week I read from a version that said, and obey. And I think, to me, obey just feels like a harsh word. And it really is. To obey means to put something into practice, right? So therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. I think we have to accept that there are going to be storms that come, there are going to be things that happen, and there are going to be answers we will not receive this side of heaven about why this storm, why me, why my child. Knowing why is not going to bring us peace because it's not going to make sense to us in our finite human brains. I talk about this, if you've heard me before, about a teenager that wants the keys to the car. And we tell them, no, you can't have them right now. And they want to know why. Now, the reason they keep asking why can't I have the keys? You could explain over and over again, and they don't care because your reason is not good enough. They are asking why because they want to argue with you why your reason isn't good enough. They're not asking why because you give the reason and they say, oh, okay, I get it. And then they go find something else to do. No, they argue with you about why your reason isn't good enough and probably eventually go storming off because they're still not getting the keys. Knowing why is not going to bring us peace. And I think sometimes we're the same way. We want to ask God why because we just want to argue with Him about why His reason isn't good enough because our human finite brains will not understand the reason why. And let me just say, the why question is a legitimate, valid question. But we have to get to the point where we stop asking the why, and maybe we start asking something like, how? How are you going to get me through this? How are you going to, you know, take this verse in 1 Peter 5 that Laura's talking about and do all of these things in my life? How are you going to turn this into something good? How is that even possible, God, to take the death of my child and turn it into something good? And I believe when we start asking those kinds of questions, God will say, I'm so glad you asked. Let me show you how I'm going to do this. If we're not fighting him, we can just rest in who he is. We can rest in his love for us, even if we're not feeling it, even if it doesn't make sense, because we can rest in knowing that he's working on it. He's working on giving me a much more firm foundation for my life. And that foundation is the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Romans 5 says we can be full of joy here and now, even in our trials and troubles. Taken in the right spirit, these very things will give us patient endurance. This, in turn, will develop a mature character, and a character of this sort produces a steady hope, a hope that will never disappoint us. That is the Phillips translation of Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. We have to learn how to live with part of us missing. Just like Becca's leg, having a child die is like having an amputation. A part of us is missing, and we have to learn how to live with that part missing. We will always have constant reminders of what has been cut off from us, but we can learn how to live a meaningful and fulfilling life with that part of us missing. Becca learned how to do it without a leg. It was in her face every day. She was missing a leg, but she learned how to live a very full life without a leg. After looking at all of this, does it make sense how it starts with God's glory and his grace? After you have suffered a while, with his divine favor, his divine enablement, and the weightiness of his goodness, he wants to bring you to a place of maturity, establishing your life in him as your strength, and set you on a more firm foundation than you have ever been on before. That may seem impossible, but it would be a true miracle, wouldn't it? But in order for that to happen, we need to surrender to the process and rest in his arms of love. I want to let you know that GPS Hope will be sponsoring the next Grief Cruise. We are so excited to be working with Lynn Finley, who has been putting together the Grief Cruise for, I believe, 10 years now, but she is now turning it over to us. Now, she is the travel agent. She's the one helping us find the right ship with the right conference space and the right price, all of that. But the seminar at sea is GPS Hope sponsored now. This will still be for any deep loss, such as a spouse, a parent, a sibling, grandchild, and such, but we will also be able to have more specific sessions just for bereaved parents. Now, as of this recording, we're still nailing down the date and the ship based on, like I said, our meeting space and the cost. We're aiming for October of 2027, but that may change based on what is out there that we can secure. Now, by the time this episode comes out, we just might have everything in place and up on the website. So I encourage you to take a look at gpshope.org/cruise to see where we are in the process. If there isn't information for a 2027 cruise, you can at least see what they have been like in the past. Now, you can also click on the link in the show notes to get to that page. If there's not updated information there yet, I will be sure to let you know as soon as it becomes available. I also want to invite you to join our Patreon community. This is for those who have been helped by the podcast, and you want to sow into good ground by investing in giving hope to others who find themselves on this unwanted journey as bereavers. For just $5 a month, you can have access to short videos I post there. Now, these are things that hit me at random times that I don't share anywhere else. For only $10 a month in supporting this podcast, you also receive weekly reflection questions that help you go a bit deeper in each week's podcast. And these are also great for using in a support group. And for only $20 a month, you get access to the videos, you get the reflection questions, and you also get invited to a monthly Zoom call with me where we talk about the last few episode topics and you can ask any questions about any of the recent podcasts. You can be a grieving parent sharing hope by supporting this podcast on a monthly basis while also having the opportunity to get a few extra blessings in the process. So join in being part of the growing GPS Hope Patreon community by going to Patreon, patreon.com/GPS Hope, or just click on the link in the show notes. One of the ways we support one another as grieving parents is by remembering our children together. And on the podcast, we share a few children's birthdays during the week of their birthday, quietly, respectfully, and with care. And here are this week's birthdays. Michael Patnode was born on April 27th and is forever 21. Christy Gayhart was born on April 29th and is forever 49. Eric Merciers was born on May 1st and is forever 38. Aaron Opoku was born on May 1st and is forever 27. If you would like your child included the week of his or her birthday in this segment, please know you are always in control. Nothing continues beyond the year you request. This is simply an invitation to remember your child within a community that understands. Go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill out and submit the form with the needed information, and I would be honored to share your child's special day with the listeners. As we close today, I want to remind you of this. If you are trying to trust God after the death of your child and you can't see what he's doing, it does not mean he's not working. Even in this pain, especially in this pain, God is faithfully doing what he promised. He is perfecting, he is maturing, he is establishing, he is strengthening, and he is settling you, not by taking away your loss, but by meeting you in the pain of it and carrying you through it. You may feel like a part of you is missing because it is, and that will always be true this side of heaven. But somehow, in ways we may not fully understand, God is still building something firm beneath your feet. A deeper trust, a stronger faith, a life that can still hold meaning even within the ache. So today, instead of trying to figure it all out, maybe the invitation is simply this: to rest, to let him be God, to trust that his heart toward you is still good, it's still kind, and it is still full of love. And as you take each step forward, even the smallest one, you are not walking alone. So hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.